They may have a lot of good points, but they're hard to be near. A bitter person can be harsh, sarcastic, and filled with anger and a desire for revenge in some ways. Sometimes a bitter person, though, is not like a porcupine, but more like an iceberg. They're cool, aloof, politely indifferent to you, and they want to go their own way and believe that they really don't need you or anyone else. But like an iceberg, most of their problem is down under the surface. Others are not like a porcupine, they're not like an iceberg, but are like what we would call crybabies. They're always sad and feel sorry for themselves most all of the time. But their main problem is they're really eaten up inside with bitterness. And this problem of bitterness has done terrible, terrible damage to whole countries, to churches, and to families and marriages. In fact, the Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Let me say, I believe some of you in this congregation, not that I may know it personally, but I believe it so, are living with chains of bitterness in your life. They're keeping you locked up and in bondage, and such bitterness in your life can clog the flow of the life-giving power of God flowing through you to use you in revival and soul winning. So I'm saying in this congregation that's here this morning, I believe we have definitely some bitter brothers, some sour sisters, some caustic Christians, and perhaps some people that are professing to be but have never really been born again, and therefore you're not sweet. And I'd like, first of all, to say in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, the writer there speaks of a root of bitterness. In fact, here in 12:15 of the book of Hebrews, the bitter root that is spoken of is actually a person that has professed to believe on the Lord, but has really failed to truly trust Jesus. And so Jesus is really not living in their heart by the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit in their heart. So if you're that kind of bitter person, then you're pulling away from God. You're pulling away from the preaching of the Word of God and from the Church of God. You're pulling away perhaps because, like I just said, you really don't have Christ in your heart. You've not really been born again. And so you yourself are a bitter root under the surface, a person that is clogged up with bitterness. And that's why you're pulling away. But there are also some of you that are born again. You are true believers, but you have bitterness in your heart toward something or someone or someone's. And you can have that bitterness in your heart because you're grieving the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Instead of having the Holy Spirit fill you with His fruit of love and joy and peace and so forth, you have bitterness filling your heart under the surface. So let me say this morning, whether this root of bitterness is a person because you've not really been born again, or whether it's a root inside of you that are saved, nevertheless, you're to walk in the Spirit this morning, and I want to preach a message to you to beat bitterness in your life from the roots up. That's the name of the message. Beat bitterness in your life from the roots up. And the first thing I like to say about that is, first beat the germination of it. And I'll read this from Hebrews chapter 12, 15, the first part. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. You need to beat bitterness right from the root up. What are two things that are needed for the germination of bitterness inside of your life? First, I believe, is the seed of bitterness in your life. And secondly, is the soil of bitterness in your heart. That's important when we think of the germination of bitterness. And you say, well, Pastor, what is the seed of bitterness in my heart? What's the seed? Let me say, the seed of bitterness within you is when somebody has hurt you, or you have imagined that they have hurt you. And this seed is when you experience a hurt, and watch out now, because that seed could be the seed of bitterness. Maybe the hurt was intentional. There are some people, they're just mean and they want to hurt you. They're like snakes. They want to bite you. There are a lot of poisonous snakes. I was looking up all kind of different poisonous snakes, like black mambas and green mambas and cobras and rattlesnakes. There's so many different kinds of poisonous snakes. It's amazing. Some people are like that. They're like snakes, and you know, you get too close to them and they bite you with something that is meant to hurt you. They mean to hurt you. Maybe because they're bitter. Sometimes the hurt, though, is truly unintentional. The person may not have meant to hurt you. In fact, they may not even know they hurt you. I'm thinking of a preacher who was preaching, not in his own church, but he was preaching. And while he was preaching in that church, a guy came up to him and he said, I really have to ask you to forgive me. He said, well, why do I have to forgive you? He said, I've been bitter at you for many years, and I know that's wrong, and I ask you to forgive me for it. He said, well, can I ask you why I need to forgive you for being bitter at me? And he said, yeah, we were college buddies in college. And we were doing a Christian service of going into a town and telling people about Jesus. And I had an idea, and I told the group, this is what we should do. And you said something else, and they all followed you. And he said, I've been bitter at you ever since. And the preacher said, wow, I had no idea. No idea. I don't even remember the incident, and I certainly did not mean to hurt you. And sometimes it's like that. Bitterness is unintentional. I've had times where I'm preaching a message and I may be preaching on a subject like this, and somebody gets bitter at me and they say, you have been following me and you knew I have a problem with bitterness, and you picked me out and embarrassed me by preaching on this subject. Let me say this morning, I really don't know of anybody that I'm preaching at or thinking about when it comes to this subject of bitterness. I know it can be a common problem, but I have no idea. And if you think I'm preaching it at you, you're wrong. I'm preaching, and a lot of times I'm preaching just to be filled with the Holy Spirit and carry the message that God wants me to carry, but then some person will imagine that it was meant to hurt them. And so the hurt can be intentional, it can be unintentional. We're talking about the seed of bitterness. Or it can be imagined. It's really not something that is being done at all as a hurt, but maybe as a help. And so maybe you've imagined something that was done to hurt you, and it was actually only in your own mind. There's another hurt that you may have, and it's in the book of Hebrews, in this context, and that's when God wants to hurt you. You know, the seed of bitterness is somebody that hurts you. Well, sometimes God hurts you. Can one of the men tell me when God hurts you? What that's called, Kyle? God chastening you. The Bible says that God spanks his children. And that's a sign of not hate or wanting to hurt you just to be mean. It's of love, like a parent would spank a child that he loves, to train that child, done in love. And yet, the Bible says that when you get chastised by God, you need to be careful not to be bitter. And perhaps God has brought hurts into your life to train you. That's what chastise means, to train you, because he loves you. But you've reacted in bitterness. And you're bitter in your heart because of these hurts that God has allowed to come into your life. And so I'm just saying that when you are hurt, that becomes a seed of bitterness that can germinate in the soil of your life, and now bitterness can be rooted in your heart, and you can become a bitter person. Now, the question number two is, there's two things that make bitterness germinate in your heart. One is the seed of a hurt. The second thing is the soil of bitterness. The seed is the hurt, but the soil is you making room to nurture that hurt in your heart more than a little. Maybe when you've been hurt, you want to get angry because of the hurt. Maybe when you get hurt, you want to nurse a grudge against the person that did the hurt to you. And so you wait for some way to get back at them in some way. Maybe you get back at them by bad-mouthing them to another person. Or maybe by giving your ear to somebody that's bad-mouthing them, and you're like, oh yeah, I got it. Yeah, I see what you're saying. They've done that to me too. But when you have the right response to the hurt, and you don't have the soil of bitterness receiving the hurt and nurturing it and fertilizing it, then the godly response is you just may do one of two things. Just go to the person who hurt you and tell them show them, and then they ask you forgiveness for it, and the problem is gone, and you clear it up. Or maybe it's not something you need to go to them about. You realize that many times you've hurt the Lord when you've done things wrong. That's called grieving the Lord. And he's forgiven you all of those sins over and over again. And you think about that and you think of, wow, you know, that person did something that hurt me, but the Lord's forgiven me for many hurts that I've caused him. So I'll just forgive them. I'm just not going to punish them in my heart for that. I'm going to give it up. If you can't just do that, then perhaps you need to go to them and say, it hurt me, because you're going to be tempted to go to somebody else and nurse a grudge. So if you have the wrong soil under the surface of your life, you're not going to forgive. You're going to nurse that grudge in your heart and fertilize it. And that leads to the germination of what we call a bitter root within the soil of your life. And there are people here that maybe doing that are Christians. There may be people here, you're not really born again yet, but you yourself are a bitter root. Under the surface, you just carry bitterness, and that characterizes your heart. Some of you are bitter people because you've therefore never received the grace of God in salvation. That's what it's saying in verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. That means fall back away from accepting Jesus as your Savior. If you're here today and you're overcome by bitterness and you've never been born again, Jesus is knocking. He's knocking at the door of your heart, and he says, if you open the door, I'll come into your heart. I'll forgive all of your sins. I'll wash them away by the blood. I'll forgive you. I won't be bitter with you. I'll give you eternal life. And then you can forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, just forgave you. But if you have been born again, you have the Holy Spirit living in your life, perhaps you've been nursing a grudge that has kept God from working through your life in a full way and kept you from really surrendering fully to the Lord. And you've not been a strong help to the church. You're a sour sister, or you're a bitter brother, or you're a caustic kind of a Christian. Or maybe you're an iceberg, and maybe you're a porcupine or a crybaby. But this morning, this message is for you. Even though I am not thinking of you, don't know who you are. So the seed of bitterness is the hurt, and the soil of bitterness is to harbor that hurt inside of your heart, and that is the germination of it in your life. And I like what Pastor Ware said. He said, "Nip sin in the bud." You want to nip it in the bud. You want to get it out as soon as possible before it roots into your life. I always have my nose itch when I preach. You ever see, feel that? My wife tells me, make sure you get a handkerchief. It's not that I have a runny nose, it's just it itches and twitches when I preach. So that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the germination of bitterness in your heart. And when you harbor that hurt, that's when it's germinating. If you're one of these kind of bitter people, maybe you'll carp and criticize others. Maybe these kind of bitter people, if you're a bitter person, or if you, let's say this, if you encounter a bitter person, they will a lot of times carp and criticize you for this and that problem, and they push your buttons until you say something that gives them a reason to justify their hypercritical and bitter attitude. Because if they can push your buttons and get you to say something, then they can, boom, I can accuse that person of, oh, you just said something that shows me I have a reason to be bitter at you. Can I say something? Sometimes people come to church just to look for reasons to criticize. And can I say this morning, if you come to Scranton Revival Baptist Church and you're looking for something to criticize, you're going to find it here. If you're looking for it in me, you're going to find it. If it's nothing less than rubbing my nose. You're going to find it in the members of the church. You're going to find it in people in the church. And if that's what you've come for. But if you come here to find Jesus, you're going to find him. If you come here to get precious truths from the Word of God, as some people came up to me in Sunday school, after Sunday school this morning, they said, for the first time in my life, I saw a precious truth from the Spirit of God. I didn't understand it before. And they got it. And you can do that if you come looking for that. But if you come to find fault, you can find that too. Which is it going to be for you? People experience hurts. That's the seed of bitterness. Then they harbor it in their hearts. That's the soil of your bitterness. And then you can have what's called the germination of bitterness. And that's what you need to beat this morning. The germination of bitterness from the roots up. But secondly, I want to say you need to beat the devastation of it. The devastation of it. Not only the germination, but the devastation. Here in Hebrews 12:15b, it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The springing up of it. And so we've talked about the root of bitterness. Now I want to talk to you about the fruit of bitterness in your life. The fruit comes from a root. It is easy, maybe, at first for you to camouflage bitterness in your heart at first. You can be a bitter person beginning to get into bitterness, and you keep it under the surface. Seldom will a person who has bitterness rooting in readily admit and say, "Oh, I'm bitter." You're going to tend to want to deny your bitterness. You're going to maybe want to disguise your bitterness. If you're bitter, you may be what we call a hypersensitive and very touchy person. By the way, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that that's the opposite of love, because love is not, it says, easily offended. That means love is not touchy. If you're touchy, you're low in love. I'm saying that maybe a bitter person walks into a room and sees two people talking to one another, and they just conclude, "Oh, they were looking at me weird and they were talking about me." A bitter person has little or no gratitude for the nice things that are done for them by others. Why? Because they're so caught up in bitterness that they can't see and give thanks for nice things. They can't praise other people. They're so critical that they fail to see the good that has been done for them. Can I say this morning? If you have a root of bitterness, that you can't be filled with bitterness and be filled with thanksgiving and praise at the same time. You can't do it. They're mutually exclusive. A bitter person will be either harshly critical or be into what we call vain, insincere flattery. They don't really give sincere thanks and praise to God and to other people. Why? Because they're bitter. Not only do bitter people find it hard to be thankful, but they hold on to grudges. That is, they find it hard to sincerely forgive people from hurt. Do you know that this kind of bitterness rooted into a family and into a church and even into a nation, it can cause terrible devastation and problems? And God doesn't want that. He wants to bless. And it could be that our church is held up from revival by this kind of bitterness, that instead of the fruit of the Spirit, we have the fruit of springing up now and causing devastation and a lot of criticism or insincere love in the form of fake flattery. And so not only do bitter people find it hard to be thankful and praise others, but they certainly will hold grudges. They find it hard to forgive people from their heart. So what about this fruit of bitterness? It says in Hebrews 12:15b, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let me say this. Bitterness is like an acid that devastates the container of the acid. I remember carrying batteries that a man by the name of Don had a garage on our property, and he stored batteries. I'm glad that guy's not there anymore. He was a nice guy, but he had these batteries and he attracted rats, and I had to kill the rats. But I remember carrying those batteries to get rid of them. And I carried a battery down from that garage, and I had these army pants on. And it was sloshing around. The acid inside the battery was sloshing around as I was carrying it. And by the time I got from his garage to my house, I looked down at my pants, and they were holy. I mean, full of holes. Wherever that battery acid had sloshed, it created a hole in my pants. Thank God it was going down. But A bitter person can cause, wherever they go, devastation. And it just comes out like that. And there was a book written that I read, first of all, in college. It's by a guy named S.I. McMillan. Has anybody ever read it? It was called None of These Diseases. None of These Diseases. It's an old book. But in that book, McMillan, the doctor, mentioned 50 diseases that are caused by bitterness. 50 diseases, physical diseases that are caused by bitterness. We call that psychosomatic diseases. And so when we say that bitterness causes devastation, in Hebrews 12:15 here, the first person devastated is you. It says, springing up trouble you. You get troubled by bitterness. And you yourself can be troubled. Now, I know this is talking about a bitter root that's an unsaved person troubling people near them. But it does apply to you yourself. Bitterness can make you sick. It can make you robbed of your health. You can be sick and not be bitter, but it's doubtful that you can be bitter for long and not be sick from being bitter. McMillan, in this book, describes a cardiologist who was an expert in heart problems. And he said, the next person that gets me really angry is going to cause me to die from a heart attack. And sure enough, he was at a conference and a speaker was speaking about a subject that really pushed his buttons and he felt was wrong. And he got up there and began to attack that person, McMillan did. And when he did, his arteries just clenched up and he died of a heart attack right there in front of all those people. The bitterness can do that. You can be driving a luxury car on a sunny day by a beautiful lake and looking at the scenery and all of that, and all you can see is that person that you're bitter against, and you are really the slave of that person that you cannot forgive because they're ruining your vacation. You can be eating a delicious sirloin steak, however you like it, medium well done, lean, I don't care. You could be eating that with all the delicious fixings around the steak, and you can have a strawberry shortcake with whipped cream and all the delicious food there, and be eating that, and it just tastes crummy. Because you're eating bitterness in your heart. And that's what Proverbs says when Solomon said in Proverbs 15:17, these words, he said, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You don't want bitterness to root into your marriage. It will ruin everything. You don't want it in your family. It will ruin your family. You don't want it in your church, it'll ruin your church. And so Hebrews 12:14 says this instead. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You see, you can't be filled with hate in your heart and be filled with holiness at the same time. You know, how can you hate your brother and claim to love God whom you haven't seen, but you hate your brother in Christ who you do see? You don't really love God. And if you don't love God, then you're gonna have no ability to see God and to have a close relationship. It'll be a clog in the pipe of revival in your life. Or if you haven't ever been saved by the Lord yet, you will continue bitter and you will be like the Israelites. Remember, they traveled 3 days out of the land of Egypt after they'd gone through the Red Sea by a miracle, and for 3 days they had no water, and they finally came to this fresh water they thought was fresh water, and they went to drink it and it was bitter, and they couldn't drink it, and they called it Marah. It was bitter. And remember what the Lord said to Moses to do to make the water sweet and drinkable? What did they have to put in? What did he have to put into that water, Kyle? A tree. A literal tree. He found a tree and put it in the water. And you know, I had things to get bitter about in my life as a young person. In fact, I did have bitterness in my heart as a young person. It was really between my dad and I. It was felt like I was provoked to wrath. And I had that bitterness in my heart. And I would pick fights over it. And I remember that. I remember those days. And then when I was 17, I went to my grandmother's house and read in the Bible how I was a sinner and how I deserved to go to hell. And I asked God for a way out. And my grandmother told me about Jesus dying on a tree. And when he died on a tree, it ripped the temple curtains that opened the way for a personal relationship with the God of the Bible. And I looked away from myself and looked to Jesus, and that bitterness went away. And instead of bitterness in my heart, man, I had love in my heart, joy in my heart, peace in my heart. And I didn't understand peace because I was in an atmosphere where there wasn't peace. And I had peace that I couldn't explain. It's so much better than bitterness. And if you've never accepted the one that died on that tree so that you could be saved, oh, he's inviting you to trust him and take away that bitter root. But not only does it hurt yourself, but bitterness will defile others. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What are we talking about now? Not the germination, but the devastation of bitterness. It says, many are defiled by your bitterness. Do you know bitterness comes out of your mouth, and it says life and death is in the tongue? The power of life and death is in the tongue. The devastation of it. And for the devastation of bitterness, I would like now to go to Ephesians chapter 5 that Brother Jose read, verses 26 and 27. First of all, he says there be angry. And the word for angry there is orgizo. Be angry, orgizo, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, para orgizo. Now, what's that talking about? He's saying, if you're angry, make sure you get angry for the right reason. And even when you get angry for the right reason, anger is like a flashing red light that says you got a problem, you got to fix that problem. And so anger, it leads you to fix problems, not to just be angry and to harbor bitterness. And that's why it says be angry and sin not. Fix the problem. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means don't harbor it. Don't nurse that bitterness in your life. And then it says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. In other words, if you let that bitterness settle down in your heart and you go down and go to bed with it and wake up with it, that bitterness will take root and Satan will come right in and get a foothold in your life. And he will use it to hurt you and hurt other people. And so we're talking about the devastation of it. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, he gives the devastation. Here it is. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, we're talking now about the fruit of bitterness springing up. The devastation of that fruit once it springs from the root of bitterness in your life. And he's saying here the first thing that is the fruit of this is that you now have bitterness. And from that root of bitterness, there's going to come the first thing, which is wrath. It says, notice this, let all bitterness and wrath. Wrath follows bitterness. Now, the word for wrath here is the word thumos. Think of thermometer. It generates heat. And when you think about generating heat, think with me about having oily rags in your basement of your house or in a closet in your house, oily rags. And they're smoldering under the surface. And that word thumos, wrath, comes out of bitterness and causes you to smolder in your heart with a desire for vengeance, and it's just under the surface, and it's smoldering there. It gives you that bad attitude. I remember a deacon lived next door to the church here, not the one that's living here now, but a former deacon, and he lived next door, and he was sleeping, and not known to him at all, in his basement there was a fire smoldering. It wasn't a big fire with flames. It just was kind of like smoky and smoldering. And finally, his wife woke him up and said, hey, there's something going on in the basement. Would you go down the basement and check? I smell something. And he got up from his sleep and he went to the basement door and he opened that basement door. And when he opened that door, guess what hit that smolder? Oxygen. Shoom, and boom, it exploded into flames. I remember coming later, not knowing what had happened, and the whole block was closed down. Fire trucks were there, and their home was pretty much totaled inside. It was burned, and they had to live in a motel for a long time. Well, what's the next word? After wrath, thumos, the oily rags, is the word anger. And anger is orge. Wrath is the internal smoldering and feeling kind of like I want revenge. And anger is when something hits that, as something happens, and it causes you to just burst out in anger. Bitter people can fly off the handle and really blow their tops. Have you been there? And then the next thing is not only bitterness and wrath and anger, but clamor. And clamor deals with your mouth, your speech. First you're bitter, then you have that slow burn of wrath, then you have explosions of anger, and guess what? Your tongue starts lashing out in clamor. By the way, clamor is when you get loud. You speak loudly with your mouth. You say things you ought not to say. They're hurtful and they can cause great devastation. And that's why it says the next thing after clamor is evil speaking. And evil speaking is when you now have the devil himself and he puts his arm around you as you're angry and clamorous and he says, hey, say this. Oh, you got a fire going here? Here's a log. Throw that log on the fire. And the devil himself is giving you the very words that he wants you to say. A man may say to his wife at this point, I wish I had never met you. We should have never been married. I remember a husband in my pastoral experience. He said to his wife, and they had been married many years, and he was a good man. And finished his marriage as a good man. His wife passed away. He said one time, you know what? You're sad, fat, and old. You're sad, fat, and old. A parent may say to a child, your mother and I are sorry you were ever born. You see what's happening here? Evil speaking. Evil means harmful. You don't really mean that. But yet the devil is now giving you words that will permanently harm your marriage, harm your children, harm your loved ones. And the final stage is the stage of all malice. Ephesians chapter 4, 31. After evil speaking comes malice. You know what malice is? A malice is a desire to hurt somebody just beyond words. Sticks and stones will break my bones. You know, that's malice. It's like, wow, we're going to go beyond words here. That's when a man physically shoves his wife up against the wall. Had this happen in the church. A wife picked up a bowl and hit her husband over the head with a bowl. He told me about that. He must have had a hard head. But that's when a disgruntled employee, when they're filled with malice, will go to work with a loaded gun. Never meant to shoot anybody. Oh, yeah. Started killing people. That's malice. That's when a father will slap his son right across the face or his daughter right across the face. Malice. Not discipline in love. I'm talking about bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and all malice. I believe we need to beat bitterness in your life from the roots up. First, beat the germination of it in your heart. Nip it in the bud. Second, beat the devastation of it as it springs up and causes permanent damage. And then thirdly, beat the bitterness by the provision to remove it. By the provision of God for it. Notice what it says in Hebrews 12:15, the first part, looking diligently lest any man, listen, fail of the grace of God. You say, Pastor, what stops bitterness? The grace of God operating in your life. The grace of God, or the grace of God offered to you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior for real, that will beat it in the bud. Or if you are a believer, the grace of God is the desire and power of the Spirit of Christ who lives in you to forgive, to confront a problem and solve it by reconciling, to put away that bitterness by an act of grace and love from God, that He gives you the desire and power to do it. And yet, many times believers, they have a problem. And it's in Ephesians 4, verse 30. We just preached on 31 about bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. But the verse just before that, let me read the verse just before that. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. In other words, if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He seals you and protects you until the day Christ comes back to deliver you to heaven. But in the meantime, the Holy Spirit is not able to work through you because the unholy devil is working in your heart. Why? Because it says here, stop grieving. That's the construction of the word. You're already doing it. Stop grieving. You say, how can I stop grieving? You need to confess your sin of bitterness. The word confess is the word homo legeo. Homo means the same kind. Legeo means to speak. That means you need to say to God what God says about bitterness that's in your heart and name it and claim it and go to God with it and then claim His promise. He said He's faithful and just as you confess sin to forgive you and to cleanse you. And if you've spoken evil to others or done evil to others, you need to say, I'm sorry for my bitterness. Forgive me. I've been wrong. And then get the cleansing of the blood that God promises. And then don't just leave it there and go back into it again and again and again, but now surrender your life to walk in the Spirit. My mother's here this morning, and she now walks a lot of times with a walker. I can see the walker and know she's here in that room inside because that walker's parked. Why? She depends upon that walker so she can walk. You may not need a walker yet, but you do need a walker. And you know who that walker is? The Holy Spirit. You need to keep surrendering your will to the will of the Holy Spirit of God and do what He wants you to do. Hey, you came to church today. That's good. And He has things that He wants you to keep surrendering. It says daily take up your cross and follow Jesus and hand that bitterness over to the cross of Christ so the Holy Spirit can put it down in the grave where it belongs because we died with Christ. And keep surrendering and beat the bitterness by the provision of the Holy Spirit of God. We've been talking about beating bitterness in your life from the roots up. Remember the germination of it, the hurt that comes to you. The hurts are the seed. The soil, though, is you harboring it in your heart. If you do that, remember the devastation that we talked about, the bitterness that springs up and becomes in your life, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. But you have a provision. Beat the bitterness by God's provision to remove it from your life. If you haven't accepted the Lord, open the door and say, Lord, I put my faith in You to be my Savior today. Or if you are saved but you've been grieving the Holy Spirit, confess and start surrendering to get rid of and not allow bitterness back and with all of its devastation. Let's bow for prayer. I'm asking that every head be bowed and every eye closed as we pray. And I wonder if you say, preacher, I've had a problem in